Amen. You guys can have your seats. Are you guys glad to be in the house of God? I love the presence of God. I love everything. You know, I love miracles. I love prophecy. I love all these things. But the one thing I love most is His presence. If His presence doesn't come and visit me, I am very worried. If His presence doesn't come upon my life or doesn't come into my room, I am very worried. Amen. How many of you can feel His presence in this place? It's going to get thick. If you were last week, I think it was last week Sunday, it was just a heaviness that came in, people on the floor, and just, we just couldn't stop worshiping. We couldn't stop ministering to the Lord, and there's different nights and different things. And tonight, I want to do something different, symbolic in terms of, I'm going to show you just some things, but I know it's going to grab your spirit. And if you grab a hold of this tonight, it is very important. Amen. It's going to speak a lot of things to you. And I know that, listen, every Sunday night is different. And but tonight, you know, I need to show a visual effect as I'm doing that to show you the process of God that is taking us through. You know, we're speaking about the call of God, and we're teaching in the mornings and we're preaching at nights. But there's a process to the call of God that people are missing out on. And if they don't go through this process and the things that happens in the midst of this process, then they think that it's not God, it's something else, or it's the devil, or something is wrong. And then they jump ship, if I can say it like this. They get prematurely birthed. They get aborted. Many people get aborted during birth and during the call of God, and they miss the call of God for their lives. You know, the call of God, I don't know how to explain it. It is one of the most important things that we answer after our salvation. When we make a decision to follow the call of God, God distinctively changes our path and direction in our lives. And He changes everything about us. Are you guys with me? I never thought in my wildest dreams before my salvation that this is what I will do. But the night in the drug den when the Holy Ghost came upon my life, I remember the few nights after that, I would have visions and I would have dreams of me standing and preaching to thousands. And we have had that. I would see the blind eyes open. But it did not happen the day thereafter. There was a process to the call of God. But I woke up there that morning and I thought, man, today I'm going to be the next Benny Hinn. Today I'm going to, somebody, Pastor Mark, prophesies over me, telling me I'm going to go into the nations and all these things. I thought, that's it. Tomorrow morning I'm waking up with the anointing of Benny Hinn upon me, or the anointing of this one. And I'll just say, touch, and people will fall. And lo and behold, everything got worse the next day. Are you guys with me? Because I've just entered the process. When I begin to submit to the process, it will feel like all hell comes against my life. But it's like, how can I say it? It's like when you submit the process, you think things are going to, it's just finished, and then it feels like it's getting worse. I'm going to explain to you. Turn with me to, put on the screen for me to John chapter number 6, verse number 32. What does it do? And more than just preach, I'm going to share a few, two or three verses. And then I want to show something like a symbolic thing. And I want to show you what you are going through. Can everybody say with me, the bread of life? You know, Jesus came and He said, I am the bread of life. Whosoever eat of me, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And whosoever does not do that will not have part of me. That sounded occultic. Are you guys with me? That sounded like, if I say, listen here, whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood, you will not have a part of me. All of you will leave. Amen. Maybe like one will sit here, Stefan, because I pay his salary, but that's about it. So he has nowhere else to go. But the other guy is going to leave. It sounded bad. Amen. But they weren't understanding what Jesus was saying. Can everybody say to me, giving birth after its own kind? God gives birth after His own kind. Which means that if the Bible says He has an all-consuming fire, He gives birth to sons and daughters of fire. If the Bible says that God is a deliverer, He gives birth to deliverers. He gives birth to saviors. The Bible, I believe in this book of Habakkuk, says that saviors and deliverers will come out of Mount Zion. Now we have a problem because we have one savior. But here the Bible is saying saviors and deliverers. Because Jesus gives birth after His own kind. Listen here, when Christ was walking on the earth, the devil had one person to be worried about. But when he went to be with his Father, he said these words. He said, if I do not go to my Father and give you the promise, it is not beneficial for you if I do not go to my Father. Which he was saying, listen here, if I go with my Father, go to be with my Father, right now I'm walking and you're 12 around me. But when I go, my spirit will come down. The Holy Spirit is not different from Christ, also not different from God. They're three different parts, but they are the same. Are you guys with me? I cannot say that Jesus is less than God and the Holy Spirit is less than Jesus. They are the same. Jesus says, when you look at me, you look at the Father. You have been with me for so long and you see you have not seen the Father. So they are three and they are the same. Are you guys with me? If that, your doctrine is not right on that, something is wrong. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus went up and he said, listen, it is beneficial for you for me to go and be with my Father, for you to swim, and then to send the Holy Spirit to you. Why? Because now Christ is inside of every single one of us, saviors and deliverers, who has the ability to go out and get people saved, get people delivered, get people healed. So God gives after his own kind. So John chapter number 6, verse number 32, then Jesus said unto them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Go for it to verse number 33. For the bread of God, which we know as Jesus Christ, is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Amen. Go for it to the next verse. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Go for it to the next verse. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Are you guys with me? You don't have to turn there, but let me just read you in the Bible here to John chapter number 1. The Bible says in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can we say the Word was God? The Word is Jesus Christ, God is God, Jesus is God, was in the beginning. Okay, it's the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came from a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights the way of every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. Listen, say with me, rejection. Until we are fully rejected, we cannot be fully accepted. If you are in a ministry, if you are in any way in a ministry, you will, and this sentence will save your life. If you have not been fully rejected, you will not be fully accepted. You can forget it. Are you guys with me? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, say as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the exousia, the supernatural jurisdiction, the power to become the sons of God. Say with me, the sons of God. Now we have a problem here, because Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life, because I was sent by God and he is the son of God. But now whoever receives him becomes sons of God. Are you guys with me? Heirs of Christ, sons of God, which means that whatever manifestation and revelation God is, I can represent that, because the Bible says in the book of Genesis that each one gives birth after his own kind. So I can give birth as a pastor in this church and this ministry as we disciple people. We are only 9 weeks old or so, almost 2 months. And as I disciple people, which will take a few years, I will give birth after my own kind, which means that they can walk into a church, so they can go minister somewhere, and people will say, this person comes from Leon de Pria. So because I give birth after my own kind, say DNA. We teach you this stuff for our freedom course, how to catch the DNA of a church, the spirit of a church. Many people haven't caught the DNA of a local church, and that's why they are not productive. And they're not being fruitful. They're not giving birth of their own kind. Say with me, the bread of life. If Jesus was the bread of life and he gives birth after his own kind, we come into this world as the bread, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Are you guys with me? Which means that wherever you go, all this, it's like you are bread to people who can eat of you. Is this too much? I know it hasn't been preached to you yet, but let me just explain something. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Listen. Jesus comes from Bethlehem. And Bethlehem, they said, what good can come out of Bethlehem? What good can come out of Bethlehem? Can anything good come out of Bethlehem? The word Bethlehem means house of bread. And Jesus was the bread of life, coming out of the house of bread, which means that God was the baker that baked the bread of life. Come on, are you guys with me? But as believers, we are the bread and we are going through a process by the baker's hands, which I call it like that, which means that whatever process we go through, God is the perfect baker. And he's beginning to bake you, and he's beginning to take you through a process that is grueling, that is painsome, that is horrible, that is going through trials and circumstances. And if we don't understand the process we are going through, we can abort the process. It's amazing. I can look over the crowd like this, and I can see people who have aborted and see people who have not. It's time to get back into the process of God, the call of God. What good can come out of Bethlehem? Yet he was the bread of life, and Bethlehem means the house of bread, which means that Bethlehem was the place where God prepared Jesus Christ. Are you guys with me? That's where he baked them. What good can come out of Bethlehem? I prophesy that if you're in this city, if you're in this region, or if you're connected to this church, may the Spirit of God come upon you and begin to prepare you. Because they said, what can anything good come out of this city? I tend to disagree because the heavens has opened over the city. I don't care who has said what. I know that an angel walked next to me and said, now is the time to plant a church of the supernatural in the city of Centurion, which tells me that God has a plan for this city. Say with me, the bread of life. I'm not saying you're Christ. I'm saying we are bread to unbelievers out there being tasty. Because Jesus gives birth after his own kind. We are salt. We are light. We are bread. But there's a process that we go through. Are you guys with me? Bring me the table. Let me become a cook. I want to show you so that this thing can drop in your spirit. You are in the house of the perfect baker. I spoke to you about, I spoke to you about the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells in the house of the Most High. The highest of the high. When you dwell in the secret place, your landlord is the Most High. And you better know that you're living in the highest of the highest of place. That is the place where God prepares you. That is the place where God shapes you. That is the place where God... My goodness, I don't want this thing to fall. That is the place where God prepares you. Are you guys with me? Is this flour? Or this? This? Okay. So the flour. In order to bake a bread... Now listen, I'm going to explain to you the process that you go through. Okay. So if you can't see from the back, here's the flower. It's on the TV, okay. La rosa catene. Can you put that one on or not? Can you put that one on? Not, okay. Just zoom out so you can get me also for the other sake, okay. So, so the flour. In order to bake bread, I need flour. But before I can get flour, I need a grain of wheat. Can you guys say with me, a grain of wheat? The Bible says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot live. The first principle into the call of God is to die to self. I must die to whoever. Listen, the Apostle Paul said, and after 13 years, I only received this revelation. I knew that scripture off by heart. Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20. I memorized it from the day of my salvation, but I only received it this year by revelation. That the Apostle Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ that lives inside of me. When you're looking at Leon the prayer, I am not alive, I am dead. And I explain to you now why. Until God brought me to the process of death, I could not be used for His glory. I'll go through the process and I'll explain to you the situation. Listen, dying to self. I have died with Christ. Christ has risen, I have not risen. Say with me, grain of wheat. The first process, before we can even get flour, we get a grain of wheat which must fall to the ground and which must then be dying in order for it to live. Now, if you look at a seed that falls to the ground, and when it dies, the shell cracks open. Are you guys with me? But it is in harsh conditions before that shell cracks open. Which means that a seed is not meant to be put nicely, to be dig the hole and put nicely by farmers into a hole and closed up. A seed is meant to just fall on the floor, go through harsh conditions, and then begin to take fruit. Because now that is then there's a process. I don't know how many days there is for a seed to begin to for the seed to begin to crack open. Let's say it is 7 days for the seed to crack open. The scientists and biologists have found out that there's a trick, a technique that is called scorification. Is that right? Scorification? Don't know. Okay, scorification, which means that they will scar the seed, and then it would take, instead of 7 days to give birth, it'll take 24 hours to give birth. Now I'm speaking about a seed that can be finances. Some of you have sown and you've waited very long, but you have not scored your seed. All right, okay, I'll leave that. Let's get to the flour. The flour. Okay, so the grain of wheat becomes flour. So here is the flour. Can everybody say the flour? So before you can even start with the bread, and you are the bread, God wants to bring you to this process. I'll explain to you why. He starts with this. Now, when you are in this flower, you are this flower, and it's all beautiful. After you've just gone through the dying process, you think, I'm ready for the call of God. You think, I'm pure, beautiful flower. And the process has just begun. Are you guys with me? So, now, the baker takes this flower, and he throws it into, what do we call this? A sieve. Okay. I don't think it is that. But anyway, he throws it into, isn't it a sieve? Okay. He throws it into this. Now, as you will see, that as I threw it in, some will easily go through. Now, listen. This flower speaks of believers. Are you guys with me? I know it's not the greatest revelation, running up and down and screaming. Just get this. The heavens will open now, okay? You are in this flower. Now you're thrown into the sieve. All of a sudden, some are falling through easy because they're kind of like going through the process. But now the baker has to shake the sieve. And you're going through these thin, small little holes that is like squashing. And it is, and as you're going through this, some are going through and some not. Are you guys with me? It's called the sifting of the Holy Ghost. So now He's sifting you, but I want you to look at this picture. If you're sitting in front, if you're sitting in the back of the camera, some is going through, but now some can't go through. Because it's like, now you need another process. Because some people are just difficult to go through the call of God. You talk to them about the attitude, they manifest. You tell them something they don't want to do, they manifest. You ask them to pack a chair, they get an attitude. They just don't want to really submit to the call of God. Then God comes with what we call, He needs to press you through. Because you see, what is left is like hard little pieces. Now He has to like press you through to get properly through. Are you guys with me? So He goes, And he's baking and he's baking. Some needs to be pressed through and punched through. And it feels like all hell is breaking loose, but we are in the process. Say with me, in the process. Now, if this flower here aborts, it's never going to become a bread. If this flower here decides, I don't want to do this, it's never going to become a bread, and it's never going to become useful in the kingdom of God. But now, the baker is sifting and sifting and sifting and sifting, and then there's like a few that stays over that is like little hard shells or little things that cannot get through. Now, if you look at here on top, you have fallen through, and you're at the bottom. But before the sifting process came, you had some friends in church. Or you had some brothers and some sisters, and some of them came against you, some old friends, whatever it might be, I don't know. And you decide you're going to begin to submit and go through the process of God. And all of a sudden, it feels like you're going through hell, but nothing is happening to them. In fact, when you're falling under there to the bottom, they are at the top and you are at the bottom. They are at the top and you are at the bottom. But it's a perspective error. Are you guys with me? Because that's how it looks from your perspective. You are further than them, but yet they are driving an X5, or they just received a house, or they might have gone out to start their ministry, but they've not gone through the call of God. But you decided, I'm going to submit, I'm going to serve. I've just gone through a sieve, but they are still looking up there. It looks like they are promoted up there because they are up here, but you're down here. But it's a perspective, with me, a perspective error. Now you got the flower here. Now it's even purer. It's like thin and soft. And it's like, now you think, I've made it through. It's done. I'm pure. God is going to use me now. It's just begun. Amen? The worst is still coming. And you wake up that morning and you think, man, today I'm going to go to work and I'm just going to pray in other tongues. It's going to be glory. It's going to be fire. And then you get to the word, to the work, and instead of being fire, you're being fired. But you don't understand that the process is just getting stronger and stronger. But listen, he is able and faithful to finish, well able to finish the good work that he has started with you. I don't care how long it takes. He is well, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Which means that if he started with you, he will finish. There is an end. Okay, where are we now? So now you got this beautiful pure flower here. Now, you know, with this, the baker will sometimes add like salt. So they'll take some sugar, okay? And then they will take some milk, which is not here. Huh? Yeah, but I also used to have milk, okay? So don't worry, don't worry. Let's say this is milk. Don't worry, let's say this is milk. So I say with you the pure milk of the word. Now the baker takes the exact amount of milk and he throws it in. And so now he starts mixing it. Are you guys with me? And he mixes it and he mixes it and he mixes it and he mixes it. And what is happening is you're finding yourself in a church now and you're being mixed with unbelievers. Believers. You came into church and you thought everybody is on fire Christians. When I first came to church, I was so on fire, man. I just got saved and I came to church and I prayed, I fasted, I was praising, worshiping, and I met all my Christian friends and I found out they did not do the same. And I thought, but what's wrong with you? For me, it's normal to pray many hours a day. I gave up clubbing. I gave up this stuff. And I'm serving God passionately. But I came into the church and realized that brother so or sister so or this one, they, you know, they're coming together for a youth night and they just kind of like watching movies. And I'm like, but aren't you guys praying? Aren't you guys on fire for God? Now I'm being mixed with people. I'm mixed with some are salty, some are sweet, some are bitter. I mean, and I'm being mixed in a church, but the thing is, I need to be mixed until you get to a thing called, just take this for me, off, until you get to a thing called dough. Are you guys with me? I think so. If I make a mistake, forgive me, but this is kind of like the process. Then you get to a thing called dough. Now, when we get to this process, again, we think, my gosh, all hell is break loose because this thing looks useless. And that's how you look after the process. You've just been beaten. You've just been pressed through the sieve. You've just been mixed with other people. Now you have to submit to this one. Now you have to submit to Stefan that's leading the F course, and you know you're more spiritual than him and you're more anointed than him. But you are mixed into this thing and you must submit to the process. And at the end, you feel like this thing here. Useless. And then on top of it, some bakers will just put this in a fridge for some time. It's called a delay. Come on, are you guys with me? It doesn't mean you're out of the process. It just means you're going to be used at a later time. Where people think then they have God has given up on them. Now they're taking this dough. Now the baker can take this dough. Now just when we think that we cannot be used anymore, everything is going wrong, everything is going bad, it's a mess, this church is messing me up, they're not promoting me, blah, 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 and all I'm doing is complaining. Now what the baker is doing, now what he's doing, a good baker will now begin to stretch this dough. Am I right? It smells seriously like alcohol. I think it's the good baker is stretching, and you're being stretched. Now you lose your job, and the church is saying, tithe, man. Now, you must work the next morning, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, but at the church, we got this function on, and afterwards, you must clean and wait for everybody to go home and clean the church, and you're being stretched. And nobody's saying thank you, and Leon is walking past you, not even greeting you. And you're being stretched. Are you guys with me? And just after you think you're stretched, you think it's done, but you're even more useless. It's just, now you're just a little bit more pliable. Some people don't want to, you see, some people are not stretchable. They have to become pliable. This is where you're being stretched. But just as you think you're finished, then the baker comes with a roll. Okay? So, listen. So they take this roll, and a good baker will properly roll this thing. Not like me, but he will properly roll this thing. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever, that's fine. There we go. Now, this process, the rolling, intercessors will understand this. Because this is the place where God pushes you flat on your face. No miracle will come until we are flat on our face or our back, seeking the face of God. Come on, guys, with me. That is part of the process. As I'm being rolled, God will cause things to come against my life where the only thing that I can overcome it is by getting flat on my face. I am being rolled. I am being rolled. I am being rolled. After the rolling, there's another thing that is happening, and we call it kneading. And he starts pushing his fist into the dough to make it a bit more pliable and make it a bit more stretchy. And he pushes his fist in, which means that it just feels like whatever you do, you're winning souls, you're evangelizing, you're having this business, you're doing your best, but it feels like there's pressure coming against you all the time. Something is pushing you down. It's the process to the call of God. But the maker and the baker is pressing down on you. And then he takes the roller again. And as the pressure comes, he takes the roller and he rolls you even flatter. Face down, flatter on the floor. Because the only way a miracle, a breakthrough comes is when you're at night alone and you're lying on your floor, face with the floor for hours, and you can just seek them. Because you have nothing else. No option B or option C or option D. You only have God to turn to. It's the process. When you are in this place, it is the best place you can be in, because you are in the hands of the perfect baker. Come on, guys, with me. Now he rolls you. Now what he does is, I believe that as he's rolled you, he picks you up. And again, you think, my God, I'm flatter now. It's going to happen now. My ministry is coming. In fact, you're just sagging. Okay. And then what you get is you get this tray, and they'll put you into this tray, I think, and they'll squash you in, fit everywhere in, with the dogs and the salt and the light and the sugar and the wolves and the goats and the pigs. Pigs are also believers. Amen. Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Dogs. The Apostle Paul says, beware of dogs. Why would he say that? A sign of dogs. You put on the outside of your house for visitors that's coming by to make them aware there's dogs inside the house. So the Apostle Paul is saying, listen here, there's dogs in the house. Watch, are you guys with me? They know you're being pressed into this thing. And you are already thinking backwards. Why has God sifted me? Why has that boyfriend left me? Why is that? Listen, it's time to leave those things alone. God is sifting us. But now we're being pressed in with this bunch of people. Some of them, you know they are dogs. You know they are pigs. They are swine. You know they are goats. You know they, and then there's a few little sheep there somewhere in between. But you know these things, but you must be fit in perfectly. Then I believe somewhere in the process, he takes some yeast. The yeast makes the dough rise to the top. The yeast is persecution God is throwing in. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Without yeast, you will not rise to the top. Without yeast, we can put you into the oven, pull you out, and you'll be as flat as it can be. Come on, guys, with me. But now God takes a little bit of persecution and he adds it into you. A little bit of somebody lying against you, and he adds it into you. A little bit of false accusations, and he adds it into you, like it is with me. People lie about me, falsely accuse me. Even just 8 weeks of this church, they try to destroy me. Even just in this church, they go and lie about me and talk nonsense or whatever. But you know what? It's the yeast of persecution. The only thing that that is going to do is going to cause me to rise to greatness. You need some yeast in your life. God is going to bring somebody in that's going to irritate you, that's going to lie about you, that's going to just, I don't know what, they're going to mess you up. It's called persecution. But that persecution is necessary for you to rise to the top. Now he takes this and he puts it in the oven. Let's say this is the oven. Let's say this is the oven. He puts it into the oven. The baker puts it in the oven and he closes the oven. We still think the process is finished. It's not. It actually just started. Putting it in the oven. And the baker closes the oven and turns the heat up. But what he will do, a good baker will come back. Every baker would open the oven and check. There's no color yet. Needs more time. Close the oven and walks away. Are you guys with me? Coming back, open the oven. Something's wrong. This loaf is not turning brown. Something is wrong. It's not fully developing, maturing, which means that, listen, as you are the bread and the baker is going, I told you last week Sunday when God visits us, we had a visitation last week Sunday, he comes to check and introspect with what we call, it's like a visitation, which is scopios in the Greek, which means to look with a scope, a microscope on, to see whether he wants to promote or demote. So now the baker comes, not maturing yet. It is at that time where we need to show our true colors. It is at that time where we need to show our maturity. And he sees, okay, we're not rising. So he closes the oven, and he turns the heat up. And he walks away. And in that thing, you're thinking, my God, everything's going wrong. The fire is going to burn me. Listen to me. The Bible says, that no, God will not lead us in any allow any temptation that we cannot handle. Which means that the perfect baker turns it to the perfect degree just before you are burnt. You will not be burnt. Come on, guys, with me. Even though it feels like everything is burning around you or against you, but he turns it up even a little bit higher. You're not making it. He turns it up even a little bit higher for you to. And what a good baker does, he doesn't stand there by the oven. He walks away, goes, sits in another room, which means that his presence isn't even there. And he just begins to smell something is right. And then he goes back into the room. When you're going through that process, it might feel like God is missing in your life, but he's in another room waiting for a pure smell to come out of your life until he can smell that you have gone to maturity. And then when the smell goes forth and then he realizes, somebody is mature. And then he goes in. And listen, in the oven is the place of introspection. That's the place where there's nothing and nobody really looking on you. God comes in now and they look. That's the place where we must look into ourselves so that we're ready for when the baker comes and looks upon us. Now he opens the oven and what comes out is a bread. So it's a beautiful bread. But listen, I think it is Job chapter number 29, which says, He has bathed my feet in butter. Let me just read this for you. Job is speaking about his anointed life. I'll still preach that message soon. Job is speaking and thinking and reflecting back when things were anointed, when the friendship of God was upon his tent. And he's referring back and he says, Oh, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were round about me, when God looked upon my tent and his friendship was upon my house, and the secret of God was upon me. And then verse number 6, he says, When I washed my steps, my feet, can everybody say with butter? When I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. Say with me, oil. The word butter is what we also speak of oil. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So now God takes, our process is completed, but there's one last thing. It's like he still needs to cut us. So the knife comes in. That's what we call character shaping. Now, as we come out of that process and we are about to be used for the glory of God, he comes and he slices us and he cuts us. I always say to some of my team that God needs to cut our character. Are you guys with me? He needs to cut and shape us. But now I can give this like this to the world, and we can become bread and we can eat it, and it's good. But how many of you know it'll be dry? How many of you know it'll be dry? So many churches become dry in their services. There's no more oil. I thank God that we have testimonies here when we say oil falls from heaven, that people say they feel oil coming on them. They feel like the anointing being poured out upon them. And this is from random people, visitors or whatever. I thank God for the oil of heaven. Listen, it is the oil that will speak for you in that day. When everybody comes against you, when everybody speaks against you, the oil will answer for you. Come on, are you guys with me? The anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's when I spoke about the message about secret oil. Your secret oil will answer for you. Now, there's a thing called butter, margarine, or whatever you're taking. And you're smearing the butter. Butter is made up of oil. Are you guys with me? There's oil in the process of making butter, which speaks of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It also speaks of the butter, also speaks of the Word of God. Say with me, the power. Say with me, the Word. Now you are the bread, but you're sitting in a place where you're receiving the power and the Word. And you go out there and people can begin to eat of you. Now listen, I'm going to drop you one more thing. Now people begin to eat of you. Whatever, but it tastes nice. And you become tasty, even if they don't eat of you. And they throw you into the bin, like there. They throw you into the bin. The maggots will eat you, but something will eat you. Are you guys with me? Which means that a bread, when we become the bread of God, do you understand the process that I went through? This is the oil that had to go in somewhere, but it's the anointing oil. And I don't prepare for Sunday nights. I really go as the Holy Ghost leads, so just stay with me. A bread does not need to be fed. It's only there to sustain others. It doesn't need to receive anything. It just gives out. Which means that if bread is just giving out, it has a whole lot of abundance of it on the inside of it. When God makes us the bread out of Bethlehem, what good can come out of Bethlehem? What good can come out of the house of the bread? It is the house of the process of God. Out of it comes the bread of life. The bread, as believers, as we come out of it and we become sustainers to others, which means that we don't even receive because God has already given us everything we need. And you're not going to look for money. You're not going to look for a job. You're not going to look for resources, because you're just going to be able to give. King David says, I will be like an olive tree planted in the house of my God. An olive tree is different to an olive. I know as believers we go through an olive and through the process of an olive being crushed for the anointing to come out. But an olive tree is the producer of olives. King David says, I am like an olive tree planted in the house of my God. I am the one that is producing the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The wise virgins said to the foolish virgins, go to those who sell oil and go buy for yourself some. Come on, are you guys with me? There are people who sell oil. I'm speaking in a good way. They are oil producers. You get around them, you receive impartation. You get around them, you are filled with the Holy Ghost. They are oil producers. The Spirit of God is saying to me that He wants to create oil producers in this place, that you will produce the anointing to people out there. Yeah. Come on, let's give Jesus a praise offering, church. Praise Him, praise Him. Say with me, the bread of life. Father, I pray that your presence will fill this place. Raise your hands to the Lord. Raise your hands to the Lord. Say, Heavenly Father, take me through the process. Through every step to become an oil producer. To become an olive tree planted in the house of God. To become a bread that produces life, that just gives out and sustain others. Say it, say, I will sustain others. There are people, they are always waiting to be sustained by others. But then there are a few, they are always sustaining others. May you receive that anointing, that oil from heaven to begin to sustain others. Listen to me, you can be the richest person on the planet. You can sit in this place and have how many properties or houses or millions, but if you cannot take your shirt off your back and give it to somebody, you are stuck in poverty. I once met a man, the man had, hundreds of millions of euros, but he cannot even buy somebody a shirt or his own family something. You are stuck in poverty. Are you guys with me? But even if somebody had a bank account of 100 rand, they take 20 rand of it and they go and give food to somebody, or they give something of themselves to somebody, they are in prosperity. Because Jesus says that this woman who was thrown in two mites, and no one, I'm not going to take up an offering, but this woman who was thrown in two mites, and if you want to get the revelation, you can honor, you can seal, don't worry. Only five of my guys will understand that. But it means that it's like, this woman who threw in two mites has given more than you all, yet they all gave more than her. But in proportion, she gave much, much more. It is time to go through the process. When you're sifted and you see your brother and your sister higher than you, it is a perspective error that you are in. You're just seeing it from your point of view, but actually you're further in the process of God than what they are at. It just looks like they are better than you. Come on, guys, with me. It is it's what we call a false statistic, a false stat. Don't look at that because you will be confused. You'll get discouraged. It is not right. But when you're focusing upon yourself and you're going through the process and you're going through the oven and you're being cooked until the perfect temperature and the yeast and the persecution, God will send people to persecute you. God will send people to falsely accuse you and to speak lies about you so that you can rise to greatness. Because it is all how we react and how we respond to that. If I react bad, I will not rise. Some people, you put them in fire. You put some fire on them. They just burn up, crack, or explode, and they don't even rise. And it's like a cake that doesn't rise and you have to throw the thing away. They are good for nothing. Come on, guys, with me. But then you get others, when you put them in the fire, they just get better and better and better. It is like they are burned to the perfect temperature with a beautiful golden brown color upon them. And it's like the enemy, what the enemy is meant for bad, God has turned out for good. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 28 says, for God works out all things together for the good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Only those who have answered the call of God, God works out all things together for the good. Let's give Jesus a praise offering, church. City, I want to run it.